Happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our High Sabbath service today, where we're having foot washing and communion. Glad to have each one of you in fellowship, including those that are listening on the phone or to the recording of today's service. And before we get into our service, I have just a couple announcements. As many of you know, the lightministry.com website is still not online yet. There has been some progress, and Thursday night I was in communication with one of the web techs, and there was a change made to the site information. And it takes 24 to 48 hours to work itself, this change to work itself through their system. And Lord willing, by tonight, around 7:30, the website should be live on the web. If it is not, I am seriously considering going to another web hosting company and signing up for service with them. And then if this other service ever gets their act together, then I can have them as a backup source. So having two web hosting companies handle lightministry.com might not be such a bad thing to have. You have one as a backup if the other one has problems. So thank you for your prayers. In addition to that, all of my emails have the old host has canceled my account, and thus all of the email accounts are no longer functioning through them. I thought I had till the end of this month to sign up for new email accounts and then let everybody know from the old email what the new email was going to be, but it caught me by surprise. They canceled it on the 11th, I believe it was. So if you've sent me emails and they've come back undeliverable, that's the reason why. So I'm waiting for lightministry.com to come on the web so that I can have emails through that source connected with lightministries.com, and then I will contact you all with the new email. In the meantime, I opened up another email account, and I'm going to put it here in the room. It's ltblmin, M-I-N, at outlook.com. So ltblmin at outlook.com. That one works. So if you need to communicate with me in the next week or so, please use that new email. The other emails are not functioning. So lightmin@tarragon.com is not functioning. ElderRobert@lightministries.com is not functioning. ltblmin@tarragon.com is not functioning. So again, thank you for your prayers, for your understanding, for your patience. And Lord willing, everything in this next week will be back to normal instead of this roadblock at every turn type situation. Praise God that the truechurchofgod.info has not had any problems. But lightministries.com, ever since the 15th of June, has had one problem after another problem getting on the web. And it shouldn't be that hard. There shouldn't be that many problems, but there is. And so you can see that the devil is behind all of the problems and the roadblocks and the hiccups, and God is greater. God has his reasons for allowing this. Amen. So praised be the Lord. And he's going to turn this apparent defeat into a great victory for his cause. So again, thank you for your prayers. Yeah, amen. God is well able. So that is the two announcements. And our opening song for today's service is The Crimson Way. Oh, now I see the cleansing way, the fountain deep and wide. Jesus, my Lord, mighty to save, points to his wounded side. The cleansing stream, I see, I plunge and oh, it cleanseth me. Oh, praise the Lord, it cleanseth me. It cleanseth me, yes, cleanseth me.
I see the dear Redeemer reign. I am a speaking line. It speaks, my spirit is amazed and quickened by its blood. The cleansing stream, I see, I plunge and oh, it cleanseth me. Oh, praise the Lord, it cleanseth me. It cleanseth me, yes, cleanseth me.
I rise to walk in God's own light, above the world and sin, with heart renewed and garments white, and Christ enthroned within. The cleansing stream, I see, I plunge and oh, it cleanseth me. Oh, praise the Lord, it cleanseth me. It cleanseth me, yes, cleanseth me. You know, dear ones, Christ's blood will cleanse us all. We can't cleanse ourselves. And we don't have to wait until we're clean, until we're purified before we can come to the Savior. We can come to him just as filthy and sinful as we are. And when we ask forgiveness of our sins, the Savior's crimson way, his precious blood, will indeed wash away all our sins. We'll have a new heart given to us, being born again. New garments, the precious robe of Christ's righteousness placed upon us. And the Savior will then have a place in our hearts. Thank you, Savior, for your cleansing stream. I pray that we will give you all of our sins and not hold any back. Well, dear ones, please join with me in opening prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to come to another High Sabbath where we will follow the command of our Savior in having foot washing and communion, partaking of the Lord's Supper today. Father, we ask for thy presence to be here in our midst. Savior, we ask for your presence and Spirit, your presence as well. We meet here in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the Son of the Most High. And we thank you, dear Godhead, for gracing our meeting, our fellowship with your majestic presences. We pray that the atmosphere that surrounds your throne will be brought down to us, the atmosphere of love and peace and joy and contentment and light and truth will fill this chat room, will fill our homes, and will fill our hearts. We pray that the devil and his angels will be shut out. All of his agents will not have a place here. And we also ask that you'll send an abundance of heavenly angels to be around each individual, that we might indeed be able to gain a blessing and be edified by this service today. Spirit, we pray that you will work upon each heart gathered here, each listening heart on the phone or listening to the recording. And Spirit, please work within us a transformation. Reveal to us what sins we have registered against our name in the record books of heaven. Convict and convert us, and help us to have a humble heart and plead for forgiveness for these sins. And Savior, thank you for the precious promise that you will indeed cleanse us from all sin. We claim the promise in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and righteous to forgive us all sins and to cleanse us with your precious blood from all unrighteousness. Spirit, we also pray that you will help us to see our Savior uplifted and glorified and in a more clearer light than ever before. Help us to examine ourselves whether we're in the faith, not whether someone else is in the faith, but whether we are in the faith. And so, Spirit, we also pray that you will reprove and correct us and instruct us in the way of righteousness. Also help us to recognize how short the time is, that the judgment is facing each one of us, and tomorrow isn't promised to anyone. So help us to be more earnest in getting our lives in order, making sure that our known sins and unknown sins are asked forgiveness for each day, so that we might be in as best prepared stage as possible in case we may not wake up in the morning. And thank you, dear Spirit, for doing so, for working within us, for reproving, correcting, instructing, guiding, leading, and pointing us to the Savior. Only in him we have salvation. Without him we're lost. We thank you, dear Godhead, for being in our midst. Thank you for blessing our gathering and fellowship here, and for helping us to see things we may not have ever seen or understood before. Thank you for thy great love and for hearing and answering this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, happy High Sabbath, dear ones. And before we break for foot washing, I'd like to go through some things with you regarding the importance of this service. And for those that would like to follow along with the notes and the quotes I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ID1971.htm. Now, it's not working at the moment, so I put a PDF version of that web page here in the room. And if you look at quote number one, from John 13, verses 1 to 11, we have the incident of what was taking place before and during the washing of the feet. And so let's read through this here and see if we can understand it a little bit more fully. So John 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So here we have events that had taken place in the sequence that they did. And so let's examine this a little more closely and try to get a better picture of all that was occurring there. Now if you look at quote number two. First off, why did Jesus do this washing of the feet for his disciples? This washing of the feet, or the cleansing of the feet, was usually done by hired servants or slaves. And they would take a wash basin and a towel and then would wash the dry, dusty feet of all of their masters or his friends or his family that had gotten dirty. But at this particular event, at this time, there were no servants there in the room. And so who was then going to perform this service? When Christ and all the disciples came to that upper room, they had dirty feet from having traveled some distance to get there. They all noticed the pitcher of water there in the room, the wash basin and the towel in the room. But they also noticed that there was no servants in the room. So one of the disciples would have to perform this servant's task, this humiliating task for all the others. And I'm sure that the disciples were more than willing to wash their master's feet, but in doing so, they'd also have to wash one another's feet. And that was a bit too much to ask. That would be very humiliating. So what did each of the disciples do in this situation? Since Christ was the master, he sat down at the table for supper. And then he waited for one of his disciples to come and wash his dirty feet and the rest of the fellow brethren's dirty feet. But Christ watched as each and every one of his disciples also went and then sat down at the table along with him. So this revealed that each of the disciples believed themselves to be as close to the same level of importance as their Lord and Master was. And it also revealed that each had an abundance of pride that kept them from humbly serving one another. They each had that problem. So their feet were not washed before they partook of supper. So then after supper was over, and still none of the disciples had humbled themselves to wash Christ's and one another's feet, then Christ rose up from the table. Well, that was not something normal at this particular point in time, and so instead of the disciples looking at one another, trying to coax or coerce the other to get up and wash feet, they looked at Christ. They were curious why he stood up. And then they watched as he went over to pour water into the water basin. And then gird himself with a towel and then carry the wash basin over to where each was sitting and began to wash their feet as their servant. You can imagine the horror and the self-reproach that was going through their minds at the time. They were no longer casting reproach at one another. They were caught off guard, if you will. And so it was at this point that their pride, that their self-importance was becoming crucified in their hearts. And each disciple was reproaching himself for not being the first to perform this service for their Lord and Master without caring if it also meant that they'd have to be a servant to all the other disciples. So Christ began washing the disciples' feet. Now, if you look at quote number 3. The Bible states that when Christ came to Peter, Peter said, Lord, I don't want you to wash my feet. In other words, I don't want you to be a servant to me. And Jesus then said to Peter, I have to wash you, or you will not be my disciple any longer. Can imagine what was going through Peter's mind at that point. So Peter said, well, then just don't wash my feet, but wash me entirely, because I want to remain your disciple. Christ then said that those that are already bodily washed are fully clean, but at times their feet become dirty, and then just their feet needs to be cleansed. So in other words, those who have already accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior have become washed in his blood and are fully cleansed from all their sins. But at times, there still needs to be a daily cleansing from the contamination of selfishness, from the contamination of pride, so that self may become fully crucified and pride replaced with humility, so that they may be completely cleansed once again and represent Christ in their character. You look at quote number 4. Since Judas, the betrayer of Christ, was still in the room, then that means that Christ also washed the feet of Judas. In fact, the spirit of prophecy brings out that Judas was the first one that Christ washed his feet. The first disciple that got their feet washed was Judas. And Christ already knew that Judas had agreed to betray him to the Pharisees, and that Judas was not cleansed in his heart. Ye are clean, but not all. Christ already knew this about Judas. So then you can recognize that Christ was washing the feet of his betrayer, and he knew it. Now, how humiliating would it be to wash the feet of someone you knew was your betrayer? This would be much more humiliating than it would normally be. But here we see that this is exactly what Jesus did. Why? Why wouldn't Jesus say, I know you're betraying me, get out? Amen. Comment in the room, because Jesus loved Judas. So even after Judas had already agreed to betray Christ, Christ still loved him. And so Christ was willing to humiliate himself to the greatest extent in order that he could do everything possible to bring Judas to repentance. He still loved Judas to the end. So Judas had no excuse. So now we're beginning to understand, perhaps in a much more fuller way than before today, that love is connected with this foot washing service. It was love for Judas that kept pride out of Christ's heart towards him. That kept anger, that kept condemnation out of Christ's heart towards Judas. It was love for Judas What an amazing love, dear ones. Amen. Love covers a multitude of sins. The sin is still there. The sin is still recognized, but love covers it. We look at quote number 5. So Christ has revealed to us such a godly example of what true love is. And he expressed this love to each of his disciples, including Jesus, including Judas. And after manifesting such godly love for them all, Christ then told them something. It's found recorded in John 13, verses 12 to 17. And again, this is quote number 5. So after he, or Jesus, had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Even if you know they are betraying you. Continuing. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. So then just the opposite would be true. Miserable are ye if you don't do them. So with such an example as Christ has revealed to each one of us, then who should we be willing to show our love to? Obviously, to every one of our fellow brothers and sisters, no matter what they may have done to us, even if we know they're betraying us, we should still, out of love, be willing to wash their feet. And it's this manifestation of love for them to the extent of our willingness to become their servant. That's the very example Jesus gave us and is the best way to try and bring them to repentance. God first loved us, hoping that by his love being manifested, that we would be willing to love him back and manifest our love to him. Sometimes love has to be manifested before love is manifested back. That's the example that Christ is doing here, especially to Judas. He's humbling himself out of love that Judas might be awakened and change his course of action. And instead of being a betrayer, could now be a follower. That's the example that Jesus is giving to us. And it's this manifestation of love for someone who doesn't deserve it that works upon their heart to bring them to repentance, to bring them to choose not to continue in their downward hurtful ways. And it's the best way to bring us closer to them in love and unity. And so if our humiliation is to be done for those who have harmed us in the least degree, they've said something or done something that we don't like, then our humiliation is most definitely to be done for those who have wronged us in the greatest degree. Like with Judas. If we're faithful in that which is least, then we'll be faithful in that which is much. So Christ has here given us an example to manifest such love to Judas who was betraying him. That's in the greatest degree. And so then we're also, even to those that have wronged us in the least degree, to show them love. What a Savior we have. What compassion and self-control he manifests. And what love is brought forth. Seeking to save to the utmost. Searching out that lost sheep. Trying to bring them back to the fold. What love is this? So since this foot washing ceremony deals with humiliation and also the subject of hurt and repentance, this is why this service is performed before partaking of the Lord's Supper. This foot washing service is designed to crucify self by showing humility and love for one another. And since it deals with these principles, then anyone is free to participate in this service, regardless of whether or not they have accepted Christ as their Savior or have been baptized. So even children can participate in this service. May we all learn the very important lessons of crucifying self, of being humble and meek and mild, and be willing to serve one another, even those that have done us wrong, all out of love for their souls. Let us take a 15-minute break to do the foot washing and then return back here at 12:45. And if you need a little bit more time, please let me know and we'll provide that time. So let's take about 15 minutes. And if you need longer than that, please let me know. Is everyone finished with the foot washing? Does anyone need extra time? Please let me know. Okay. Praise the Lord for giving us such a loving example. And may we allow God's love to fill us so fully that we can even be kind and loving to our enemies. And you know, this foot washing is not so much dealing with worldly enemies as it is dealing with brothers and sisters of the same faith. And if we can manifest godly love to family members, sometimes it's a lot harder to do so, but if we can manifest godly love to family members who have wronged us, then we can also manifest godly love to those who are not part of the family of God. And that may be the only way to reach those that are outside of the faith, with manifesting love to them. Please join with me in prayer before we have the communion service. Heavenly Father, again we thank you for thy great, infinite, marvelous love for each one of us. While we were yet sinners, this love was manifested. I pray, dear Father, that through your Spirit, you will indeed fill us to the full with divine love, to help us to keep self out of the picture when problems and situations arise. That self will not be eclipsed for the other person because self's in the way, but Jesus might be revealed to the other person through us. Thank you for the grace that makes this possible. Without the Spirit's help, without divine power coming to our aid, without our choice to deny self and exalt Jesus, it could never happen. But thank you that we may be enabled to become the children of the Most High, the children of day, the children of love, and no longer children of the wicked one, children of hate, children of pride. Thank you, Savior, for your great sacrifice that makes all of this possible, for us to have a second chance, for us to be commandment keepers in its fullest extent, founded upon love. Thank you for continuing to dwell with us, to bless this meeting and gathering, and to enable us to be edified and to grow more in grace and in knowledge and in understanding of your character and of divine love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, before we partake of the bread and the grape juice, I'd like to share some things with you. And for those that would like to follow along, you can find these quotes on our website at lightministries.com/ID1972.htm. And again, You won't see it on our website at the moment, so I've brought a PDF of the quotes here in the room. So regarding the bread and the juice, we're told this in Matthew 26, verse 17 and 26 to 30. If you look at quote number one. Now upon the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? As they were finishing eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. What a promise. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out unto the Mount of Olives. And in Luke 22, verses 17 to 20, we're told, And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. So here we see that these emblems of bread and wine or grape juice represent something more. It's connected with Jesus. And so what does the bread symbolize? What does it represent in this communion service? And if you look at quote number two, the bread symbolizes the body of Jesus. Now, it's just a symbol. It's not the actual body of Jesus. It's just a representative of Christ's body. So then in eating this communion bread, and it symbolizes the body of Jesus, then it further symbolizes that Christ, who is the Word and the truth of God, is being taken into your body, into your life, thus nourishing your spiritual life. Not your physical life, but your spiritual life. And we're told in Psalms 34, verse 8, Oh, taste and see, so something's being eaten, that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And in Jeremiah 15:16, Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. So Jesus, who is the truth, who is the bread of life, is connected in a symbolic way with the partaking of unleavened bread in this communion service. By eating that unleavened bread, it symbolizes that you're partaking of Christ, who is the bread of life, who is the truth, who is the Word of God, and allowing him to give nourishment to your spiritual life. So that's what the bread symbolizes. But what does the grape juice, the unfermented wine, symbolize in this service? And if you look at quote number three, the unfermented fruit of the vine symbolizes the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So it's not that this grape juice is the actual blood of Christ, or that it can be miraculously changed into the blood of Christ. It's just a symbol representing the blood of Christ. So then by drinking this grape juice that symbolizes the blood of Christ, it would further symbolize that you are being washed clean from all of your sins, both outwardly and internally in the heart, through the precious cleansing blood of our Savior. That crimson wave. We're told in 1 John 1, verses 5 to 9. This then is the message which ye have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we've now understood what the symbols represent of eating literal bread that symbolizes the body of Christ and drinking literal grape juice that symbolizes the blood of Christ. So then apart from this symbology, why should we partake of the Lord's Supper? If you look at quote number 4, we're told in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 6. For I have received of the Lord Jesus that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. So these verses reveal to us that we're to partake of the Lord's Supper in remembrance of the great sacrifice that Christ willingly made out of infinite love for you and me and for all of God's followers. So this reveals that since we've been washed from our sins and we've allowed the truth to take hold in our heart, then partaking of the bread and the grape juice should be a happy and joyous occasion, because we're remembering what the Lord has done and is doing for you and me and others of God's people, and especially his promise that he's soon coming back to take us home so that we might be with him, that we might be in his Father's kingdom and with the Father himself, where Jesus will again drink of the fruit of the vine in company with all of his redeemed and ransomed followers. So this should be a happy occasion. Foot washing can be more of a solemn occasion because self is being crucified, wrongs are being made right, individuals are being reunited again that may have been estranged before. But now that we come to the Lord's Supper, the unity has been resumed. The wrongs have been made right. Forgiveness has been meted out. And we're entering into a season in which we're remembering what Christ has done for us and that he's coming back again, which builds our hope, which increases our trust, and it enables us to look forward to such a time. Christ is coming back to take you and me home. That's something to look forward to. So this occasion here, as we partake of the bread and the grape juice, is to be a happy occasion. It's still a sacred, holy time, but it's a time of rejoicing because Christ is coming back. We're remembering what he has done for us, what he is doing for us, and what he will do. And that's something to be happy about, dear ones. So then another question is, who can partake of this Lord's Supper? And when you look at the events surrounding the partaking of the Lord's Supper there in the upper room, it was only the disciples of Christ who he allowed to partake of the bread and the juice that symbolized his body and blood. And when you look at the lives of the disciples, they had all been previously baptized and had already accepted Jesus as their Lord, God, and Savior. So then this reveals to us that not just anyone is free to partake of the bread and the juice, but only those that have chosen Jesus as their Savior to become his follower and have been baptized into Jesus Christ. So as this is true, then for those here who have not yet been baptized into Jesus or who have not yet fully accepted him as your Lord God and Savior, then I would request that you do not eat of this communion bread or drink of the communion juice until you have done both of these necessary and important things connected with your salvation. And so we usually partake of foot washing and communion about every 3 months. So the next time we'll be partaking of it will be at the end of September or first part of October. And so if you desire to partake of the communion service in the next 3 months, then there's time for you to be able to be baptized and to accept Christ as your personal Savior and then join with us in this very important service. So for those that have been baptized into Christ and have accepted him as your Lord God and Savior, and if you know that you have confessed all known sins, and you know that you have done everything you can to settle differences between those whom you fellowship with here today, either before or during the foot washing service, and if you have fully crucified self and are hid in Christ at this time, then you can know that you are worthy in Christ by faith to participate in this sacred communion service and that you will indeed be blessed and happy in the Savior. And so now at this time, please have the bread passed out and ready to partake of, but don't yet eat it yet. So please go ahead and pass the bread out, and I'll give you a couple minutes to do that. Okay. in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And now please eat the bread. Amen. Amen. I'll give you a couple minutes to pass out the grape juice, and please don't drink it yet. Be right back. Okay. Also in 1 Corinthians 11, it says, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Now please drink the grape juice. Amen. Praise Jesus for making our salvation possible and for making a way that our sins can be forgiven. We can be cleansed. We can be made righteous. We can have grace to live a new life in Christ, and that we can be able to get off of this wicked world, have sin completely eliminated, and then have the privilege of dwelling on the new earth in communion and company face to face with our Father, our Savior, all the heavenly host and be able to visit other worlds of unfallen beings and with one another. All the redeemed from Abel all the way down to the last Christian who perishes, or who dies, will be able to be with them forevermore. And that is indeed a joyous occasion, dear ones, but all because of our Savior's great love and sacrifice that we might live. Amazing love, dear ones. And you'll notice here that it talks about, let me go up there. It says, when they had sang a hymn, they then went out to the Mount of Olives. Yeah, right here. Matthew 26:30. When they had sang a hymn, they then went out to the Mount. The closing hymn that I have chosen is titled The Love of God. For those who know this wonderful hymn, please take a verse. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin.
Could we wink the ocean filled and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the law that above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Will you, dear sinner, come to Christ? Just as you are burdened with sin, he gave his life a sacrifice to make you free, new life in him. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, but so forevermore endure. The saints and angels' song.
Amen. Amazing love. Love for you, dear one. And he's willing to plant this infinite love in your heart if you'll let him in. With God's love everything in the world pales in significance. It no longer holds a binding spell upon you. And with God's love, in manifesting it to others, you will become a child of God. God is love. And if you show love to others, then you are a child of God, a child of the Most High. May we indeed be God's sons and daughters, his children, to reach out to a world of hate and death and crime and sin with love founded upon him. We'll be commandment keepers, showing love to God first and foremost and love to our fellow mankind. And Christ will be revealed. He will be glorified. And more people will fall in love with him. Please join with me in closing prayer. Precious Father, thank you so much for your infinite love in developing a plan whereby we can escape death and be brought back to your side. Thank you, dear Savior, for voluntarily carrying out this plan, showing your great love for us through sacrifice, that we might indeed be able to have our sins confessed, forgiven, forsaken, and to have your precious robe clothing our nakedness, that we might indeed live a new life in Christ Jesus. A new child born out of heavenly love to manifest this love to others. A new life indeed. And thank you, dear Spirit, for coming to us and working upon our consciences in bringing conviction and hopefully conversion to our lives, for bringing back to our attention the words of our Savior, for encouraging us, for also reproving and correcting us when necessary. And for continually working upon us to keep self crucified and to keep Jesus uplifted. Thank you for your great love in doing this, for without your earnest efforts in our hearts, our lives, our minds, we would surely be lost. Father, thank you also for sending heavenly angels to be with us, particularly our guardian angel. And thank you, heavenly angels, for protecting us, for encouraging us, for influencing us, for bringing us into contact with others who have aided us in learning the truth, in coming into contact with our Savior, the bread of life. Please don't stop. Thank you for the protection and the overruling of circumstances that we were not hurt worse or perhaps not hurt at all. Thank you also for shielding us from the evil angels and the devil's attempt to harm us and to lead us astray, to get us off the path. Thank you, dear Godhead, for making our salvation possible in every facet. And thank you for the promise that sin will have an end. It will not rise up again. Help us to let it go now, that it might, our confessed sins will go beforehand to judgment, and we can be pronounced innocent in Christ Jesus, sealed with our Father's seal in our forehead. Help us not to receive the mark of the beast, to compromise with sin, with error, with fallen churches, but to stand firmly and courageously for our Savior and His truth. If we hold on to Christ, we have life. If we let Him go, we're going to reap death. Thank you also for the great promise that our Savior is coming soon to take us home. Help us to get ourselves ready. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow, dear ones. Again, before you leave, the old emails, Light Ministries, or lightmen@tarragon.com, ElderRobert@lightministries.com, LTBLmen@tarragon.com, all those emails no longer function. I thought I had till the end of the month to get all that changed and new email addresses sent out to all of you, but they cut me off, I believe it was the 11th. So I've opened up a new email address. It's just temporary until the website is back online and I can get new emails connected with lightministries.com. But the temporary email is ltblmin@outlook.com. So ltblmin@outlook.com. I also appreciate your continued prayers that the website will be online soon and not to be offline like it is. It's been a month now. Since June 15, that there's been one problem after another getting the website to be hosted by a new host. And they're still having problems, but Lord willing, the website will be up on the web by next time we meet. Lord willing. Amen. God is able. So I thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your concern and your support. And praise God that Satan is a defeated foe and that Jesus is the mighty conqueror. Are there any comments or questions, thoughts, testimonies, songs, or requests that you'd like to bring forth? Please feel free. Well, I praise God that the chat room was not affected by whether the site is online or offline. We can still meet together and have the precious privilege of fellowship and edifying one another and being edified and able to praise our God from whom all blessings flow. Here's a hymn we haven't sung for a while. You will see your Lord a-coming, you will see your Lord a-coming, you will see your Lord a-coming in a few more days. You will hear Christ's silver trumpet, you will hear Christ's silver trumpet. You will hear Christ's silver trumpet in a few more days. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music which is sounding through the air. You will see the saints arising, you will see the saints arising, you will see the saints arising in a few more days. Then we'll travel to the city, we will travel to the city. We will travel to the city in a few more days. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music which is sounding through the air.
Then we'll shout our sufferings over, we will shout our sufferings over, we will shout our sufferings over in a few more days. Then we'll spend eternity, we will spend eternity, we will spend eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music which is sounding through the air.
You will see a lot of coming, you will hear Christ's silver trumpet. You will see the saints arising in a few more days. Then we'll travel to the city and we'll shout our suffering over. Then we'll eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music which is sounding through.
Amen. A few more days, dear ones. Josh, let me see if I have anywhere with Jesus. Just one second.
Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. Anywhere he leads in this world, below. Anywhere without him.
Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere he leads me in this world below. Anywhere without him, dearest joys would fade. Anywhere with Jesus, I am not afraid. Anywhere, anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go.
Anywhere with Jesus, I am not alone. Other friends may fail me, he is still my own. Though his hand may lead me over a dreary way, anywhere with Jesus is a house of praise. Anywhere, anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go.
Anywhere with Jesus I can go to sleep when the darkly shadows round about me creep. Knowing I shall waken never more to roam. Anywhere with Jesus will be home sweet home. Anywhere, anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go.
Amen. Amen. The Bible says in John, I think it's 12:32, if I'm not mistaken, that where Christ is, there will his disciples also be. So then if Christ can't go somewhere because it's the devil's territory, then his servants, Christ's followers, will not be there. So anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. So, amen. Are there any other thoughts or comments, dear ones, requests? Please feel free. Amen. Thank you, dear sister, for your prayers as well, for keeping you and your precious family in our prayers also. Yeah, looking forward to the next time we meet, and Lord willing, the website will be up then. But if not, God knows why, and he will take care of all of the issues dealing with that. Don't have to worry about it. When we do the best that we can in any area that God can approve, we know that God promises to make up the difference, or in other words, to supply our lack. So when you put God first and foremost, he promises to take care of all the other secondary areas. And what a marvelous, compassionate God we have, dear ones. It's going to be wonderful that if we're faithful to the end and we're able to make it to heaven, that there won't be any more veil that prevents us from being able to see God face to face. We'll be able to see him as he is. And I've got some big hugs for him. And the picture that Christ paints of our Father, he's got big hugs for me too. Hugs for all of us. Looking forward to that. Are there any other thoughts or comments that you'd like to share, dear ones, before we close today's service? Please feel free. Dear ones, have a wonderful remaining Sabbath. Thank you so much for your fellowship on this high Sabbath day. It has made it a delight. Truly, the holy of the Lord, honorable on his special Sabbath day. We look forward to fellowshipping with you again soon. Thank you for your prayers. Our prayers are with and for you. And thank you also for special prayers, because there's going to be some changes here, not in the home church, but in our situation here in California. So thank you so much for your special prayers, for God to lead and guide, rule and overrule, especially regarding the ministry and the website. But until we meet again, dear ones, go with God and keep looking up.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.